You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is brought to you by Stella Artois. Make every moment unforgettable with Stella Artois. Whether at home with a cozy dinner or dining out, Stella Artois adds a touch of sophistication to any occasion. Stella Artois, a taste worth more. Enjoy responsibly. Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. On today's show, we're going to talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meals at a couple of restaurants of note. To do that, I'm joined by my co-host this week. She is an expert on food, wine, and good times. Felice Sloan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey. I am wonderful. I am so excited about all the things we need to talk about. So, I'm ready, Eric. Ready.
Well, then let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, the Michelin Guide has announced that it will reveal the first restaurants in Texas to receive Michelin stars and Bib Gourmand awards at a ceremony that's happening right here in Houston on Monday, November 11th, which means we're only about a month away. Felice, we've talked about this quite a bit on the show. We talked about the initial announcement that Texas was going to be part of the Michelin Guide. We had a whole roundtable conversation with chefs about whether there was a level of interest and what it could mean for restaurants to be included in the Michelin Guide. So now I'm putting it to you. What is your, as someone who's passionate about dining, who's knowledgeable about the dining scene, who's traveled the state to a certain extent and been to a lot of the restaurants that might be up for recognition, what is your personal excitement level about finding out which restaurants the Michelin Guide has selected for inclusion?
I'm over the top excited. And the restaurant people that are acting like they aren't, they're lying. They're lies, okay? People are buzzing about it. It's kind of like that thing. And we kind of spoke about it a little bit. It's the thing that you talk about, especially if you're one of the restaurants. So say I have a restaurant, right? And maybe people think my restaurant's going to be nominated. And I play coy. But on the inside, honey, I am like waiting. I'm hoping, I'm praying. It's that thing. So if people are acting like they're not excited, I think they're lying. And the people like us, I am just chopping at the bits. I'm excited. I'm working. I'm trying to get a goddamn ticket to that damn announcement dinner. Like, it's very exciting. And that they're doing it in Houston, I'm excited.
Well, you know, what's so funny, you hit on a bunch of points and your thinking is very much in line with mine. So let me just back up just a half a step. When these rumors first started to circulate that Michelin was coming to Texas, I wondered about whether people would care, because Michelin, it's only like they're going to do some stuff to make themselves adapt to Texas, right? They're going to recognize some barbecue places. They're going to do some Tex-Mex places and all of that. And I welcome that, and that's all fine. But for the most part, it's European and Japanese fine dining tasting menus. And if we're being really honest, that is not the strength of the Houston dining scene, or really any other city in Texas, right? That's just not, it's not what we do best. And so I thought, is anybody going to care about this? And then, you know,
see,
every time
I would care. I thought people would blow it off a little bit.
Right. Every time I'm out in public, people want to talk to me about which restaurants I think are going to get Michelin stars. They're making reservations to go to restaurants that they think might get a Michelin star before they get a Michelin star. I mean, you know, we had Emmanuel Chavez from Totemo on as part of that Michelin conversation. He said his reservations went up by 20% after the announcement because Totemo is one of the restaurants that is on the short list that people think could be in the mix. And yeah. So everybody wants to go before the announcement comes out because, as Opiamosu said about Chopping Block, yesterday's price is not today's price, right? Like, if Totemo gets a star, the price is going up, probably. So that was the sort of the first component. And then the ceremony on November 11th is invite only. It's mostly for restaurants and media people. But I got so many DMs last week from people being like, who are you taking to the ceremony? Which, some were friends and some are people who've been on this podcast pretty regularly. And a couple were people that I haven't seen. Yeah, we see each other online, but we haven't seen each other in person in more than a year. So I think that's pretty bold. And also, by the way, full disclosure, I have not been invited yet. I hope to be, and I've been in regular contact with the Michelin right. people throughout this process. So I think I am likely to be, but I have not been actually invited yet.
Right. You're not like me. You're not like me. Like, oh, have you got invited? How do I get a ticket? You're right. Waiting for your ticket. Yes. Yes.
And then, there was another wave of excitement when Michelin started sending out these emails asking restaurants for information for their website. And nobody quite knows what that means because there's stars and which is the highest level. There's Bib Gourmand for inexpensive restaurants with really good food. And then there's recommended, which is like for nice restaurants that are too expensive for Bib Gourmand, but aren't quite polished enough to get a star. And so mm-hmm. the emails could mean that you're one of those three things. And you know, I saw Ronnie Killen posted screenshots of the ones that he got for Killen's of the Heights and Killen's Barbecue, which hopefully would both be good candidates for Bib Gourmand, but trading gossip about who has and hasn't gotten these emails has become something of a minor part-time hobby of mine. So the level of interest in Michelin has been much higher than I anticipated. And so it's made me more excited. And so, yeah, I'm bring on November 11th. I mean, that's also the night of Culture Maps tailgate event. So if you don't get one of the invite only tickets to the Michelin Award, please buy a ticket to the tailgate event. They're on sale now. It's sponsored by Verizon and we would love you. We would love your support.
And then, we can carry the conversation on at the tailgate party. If we agree, disagree, I think it's a good conversation.
Right. And when it comes out, we'll be able to do two things, right? We'll be able to celebrate all of the restaurants that got included, and we'll be able to gripe about all of the places that got slighted.
About Michelin, correct.
Right.
Correct.
So it's going to continue to drive conversation. Then there'll be a whole second round a year from now when the next round comes out, and we can talk about who got added or demoted or promoted mm-hmm. from one star to two star. So yeah, this is going to drive conversation forever.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's fun. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to topic number two. I have some more details about Cowboy Heaven, CowboiXHeVVVEN, the honky tonk themed dive bar inside Meow Wolf, which is this interactive art installation that's coming to, it's just north of downtown. Like it's very close to St. Arnold, and they've been calling it Fifth Ward. The distinction between near North Side and Fifth Ward at that particular address on Lyons Avenue is a very fine distinction, in my opinion. But they're calling it Fifth Ward, so let's go with that.
Yeah, I think it's closer to Fifth Ward. I'm going to go with it's closer to Fifth Ward. Yeah.
Lyons Avenue is kind of typical of Fifth Ward, right? Yeah, so we'll go with Fifth Ward. All right. So, but they've told us that it's going to be called Radio Tave. And it's kind of inspired by, you can see in the marketing materials and on the website, it's kind of inspired by like a 70s, 80s AM radio station, and the honky-tonk is inside. It's the first time that a Meow Wolf has had a food and beverage concept that's integrated into the overall artistic aesthetic of the exhibit. So, Felice, let me just throw this to you. I mean, does knowing that you can get, you know, a Frito pie and a St. Arnold beer inside a honky tonk dive bar, does that make you more likely to go to Meow Wolf?
It does not. I'm just going to be honest. However, the whole concept, you know, we've talked about it. I remember when it was coming, you and I talked about it. And I'm just interested in the concept. And I think people, you have two sets of people. You have people that I would go to the bar just independent of the whole experience. So if I were going to the experience, I think it enhances it, right? Like it gives me, now it makes it a destination where I'm like, oh, I have a date, have friends meet me there. It's just more of an experience. So from that standpoint, taking me out of it, I would say yes, possibly. Right. Yeah. Especially if people have to drive, like you think about people that are coming from all over and they're trying to not just get people inside the loop, people outside the loop, it's driving that. Like now it's an afternoon, it's an evening, and I'm doing more than one thing. It was worth my time. So I like it.
No, I think that's right. I think, you know, they have, you know, there's one in Dallas, there's one, you know, it started in Santa Fe, New Mexico. There's one in Vegas. These Meow Wolf installations are a big deal. There's one, the fourth one is in Denver. And these places are a big deal. They're going to draw a lot of people, you know, every day. And you can buy, and just like a museum, you can buy a membership that's basically a season pass. So you can go as often as you want. And there is this expectation that this is going to be like a major tourist destination. And if you kind of think about downtown, near North Side, Fifth Ward, it's all going to come together because you can have the Post, right, with that rooftop garden and the food hall and the concert hall and everything going on over there. You know, St. Arnold, the oldest craft brewery in Houston, the big, beautiful campus with the patio and the skyline view, and then now Meow Wolf. And so, you know, it's all kind of a piece. And so, you know, of course it was going to have a food and beverage component, because like you said, you're going to want to spend hours there.
Yep.
And so that they went to all this extra trouble to create characters in an environment and a jukebox with songs that were written by the lead artist who created the space in a variety of styles. Like, you know, some are like old school Hank Williams, some are like 80s country Dolly Parton, some are kind of sad bastard 90s alt country like Wilco. That's how he described it when we were talking. And so it's such a cool idea.
Like reading it and hearing about the idea, like I want to be a part of it and see how it all comes together.
Absolutely. All right. And that opens October 31st. So it's going to be a pretty epic Halloween night when Meow Wolf opens. And of course, we'll have more articles, like Culture Map will have more articles as we get closer and show you more of the space and kind of what you can expect. All right. Topic number three, the New York Times published their annual 50 favorite restaurants in America list a couple weeks ago. The only Houston representative is Viola and Agnes, the kind of modern Creole soul food restaurant in Seabrook, very close to the Johnson Space Center. Felice, I don't know that there's a whole lot to say about this. I mean, I think it's
that we haven't cool. already said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I know that you're a big Viola and Agnes fan, and I know that because we ate there together. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity to just opine on what this being included on this New York Times list means for Viola and Agnes.
Oh, it's so huge. I think because where they're located, we've said this about places like Tris before in the Woodlands, and Viola and Agnes definitely applies because where they're located, they don't get all the shine and love that they would if they were closer in. And it's just good food, right? It's every day he does something. He does specials that are off the menu. The food, it's a good vibe. And it's just like one of my favorite places to go in Houston. Now, I don't agree that there was not other places worthy, but we had that whole conversation last year when we were like, wait, what? Well, what about this place and what about this place? However, I'm not going to take their shine. They definitely deserve, they're very deserving of it. People, if you're wondering how they made the list, make the trip to Viola and Agnes. You will not be disappointed. The food's amazing.
Yeah, I think trying to parse why it was El Higadense and Gatlin's last year and why it's Viola and Agnes this year is not a kind of like, who knows, right? Who knows how they decide right. How many they're going to do from Houston? Who knows how many places they went to? Did they look at something newer, something a little trendier? Did they want an established restaurant specifically? Did they want a restaurant that was owned by a person of color specifically? Did they not want right. something typically Texas like barbecue? We could ask all, like, what were the criteria?
All the questions.
We could ask all of those questions. We're never going to get answers to them. So we're just going to say, good on you, Viola and Agnes, and anything that gets more people to that restaurant is a good thing.
It is a good thing, yes.
All right. Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Felice, for our restaurants of the week, we have two places to discuss. Let's start with Credence. This is Levi Good's new restaurant in the Memorial City area. It is a live fire elevated concept with steaks and seafood and a whole way of appetizers and cocktails and desserts. You know, just kind of start at the beginning. I mean, you know, right when you walked in, like, what were your first impressions as you kind of looked around and saw the bar and the dining room and all of that?
Well, so, you know, I cheated and went when they first opened in the daytime because I just wanted to take it all in, because West Houston is well overdue for a beautiful place like this. And I knew if anybody could do it, Levi would do it. So when you walk in, I mean, it's just, you walk up, it's beautiful. You got the patio outside with, you know, chairs and couches, and you got that where you're like, whoa. And then it's so grand in a very approachable way, if that makes sense. And you've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. When you walk in, you're like, wow, it's like big and open, but it's very like approachable the way they've done the decor. I like that. I like that about it because it's like two sides. You got the bar, which is massive, but you can also sit on that side in the main dining room with this huge, as you're saying, live fire concept, open kitchen. And it's just, again, the thing that I talk about, that hustle and bustle for dinner, that hustle and bustle, the sound of an active restaurant without being too loud. That was my first, you know, because we got there, we had 7:30 reservations. So it had the buzz, you know, the restaurant buzz where you're excited. You knew something like, oh, I can't wait to get my meal. That's the kind of feel that I had when I walked in.
Yeah, I think that's all well said. The only thing I want to add is that it's just physically so large. And, mm-hmm. you know, high ceilings, big open dining room, good sized patio with a whole bunch of people sitting out front. People just don't, it's unusual to see a restaurant with this level of culinary ambition. It's also this like physically large that seats this many people at one time. And the chef, Joseph Geistkopf, came by and he said, yeah, we had, you know, over 300 people had reservations tonight. And, you know, we're going to wind up serving like more than 400 people tonight. That's a lot. Like people just don't, like, we yeah. just don't see restaurants that are doing
yeah. that. And we saw like, it too.
That are that right? large and are doing that kind of volume. It's just, it's unusual in that sense.
And we saw it though, as we sat there, I was like, people keep coming, you know, we get closer to 9 and I'm like, Eric, do you see people? Or it wasn't thinning out. It was getting busier. It was very exciting to see because, like you're saying, like restaurant that size and just what's going on in the economy and everything. It was impressive.
Right. They were going to, on a busy Friday night, they're going to seat that restaurant 3 full times. That's, that is an impressive volume, especially at a time when a lot of restaurants aren't as busy as they used to be. So there's a real excitement in the neighborhood. You can tell there's an excitement about this restaurant. The neighborhood's excited. And I'm going to say the food was pretty good too. What were some of your favorite dishes from our meal at Credence?
I'm going to go with the bites. One of the best bites that I've had in a long time was the deviled crab. I think I laughed when you took your first bite, right? You were like, oh my God, this is insanely good. Like you said something like that. Like it's, and that I get excited for that. Like I want, like, this is the best bite. That first bite was amazing. I love that. And the snapper, like just simple snapper, but it was just the flavor. It was cooked perfectly. Those are like two of my favorite bites, the seafood. So it would be a seafood night for me. What about you?
I'm with you on that deviled crab. Like it was rich and buttery and sweet and just so satisfying. And, you know, I wasn't really, crab can be kind of delicate, right? It's kind of easy for the crab flavor to get lost, but this didn't do that, right? This enhanced the crab. It was very, very craveable. And I guess that's not surprising that the seafood is what impressed us. After all, like Good Company is known for their seafood. All of their restaurants have a seafood element. You know, you mentioned that snapper with that smoky lemon butter, you know, just a really nicely cooked piece of fish, very enjoyable. And then also, you know, just kind of the basic, like a shrimp cocktail, but it's seasoned really well. And the sauces are good.
Insane.
And a dish that, you know, frankly, can be a little bland, right? Or overcooked if it's not poached properly. But these were spot on. And it's such a classic. And I'm such a sucker. And I order it everywhere.
Everywhere. And it's usually boring. Eric, it's usually boring. And I said, Eric, are you getting, remember? I said, Eric, are you getting a shrimp cocktail? You're like, well, I was thinking, what are you? Yeah. And I'm like, of course we are. And this time, I was like, wait, Eric, I think this may be one of the best shrimp cocktails in Houston. Like, it's not boring. It has flavor. I would order this again.
You know, and then the other dish that we had that I really liked was that New Orleans style barbecue shrimp with the grits agnolotti. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of, I will say the pasta was not my favorite thing, but the shrimp, the way they were cooked, the richness of the sauce. And again, you know, we talked to Joseph and he sort of talked us through that dish. And it's like the sauce itself is like, it's got some Worcestershire, it's got some shrimp stock, it's got all these other components. And you don't, you know, not that you're, I mean, I'm not some super taster, right? I'm not picking out those individual components, but it's just hearty and satisfying. And you know, New Orleans style barbecue shrimp is such a comforting dish when it's done properly. And this, I'd say this is probably one of the better versions of that dish that I've had in quite a while.
Yeah, I like their interpretations. I agree 100%.
Yeah, and you know, we got a steak. I was excited about the steak. I like a steak cooked over live fire. I like when you get a little whiff of smoke, right? It's kind of the same reason. It's one of the same flavors I like in barbecue. It missed the mark just a little bit, right? It was just a little bit over. It was a little bit under seasoned. Again, nothing that would stop me from going back or even would stop me from ordering a steak there again, but just something to sort of keep in mind, right? That the, you know, those seafood entrees were so good that for the steak to just be just like a 10% not as good as it could have been stood out only in contrast to how much we liked the seafood.
Correct. I think it's well said.
And then we parted ways because I went home, but you went on to Sidebar, which is their speakeasy. So let me just ask you, what was the What was the speakeasy experience like?
Listen, I was so impressed. So the cool thing about it that they, you know, we knew that they had it over there. But, you know, you can just start out there. They were trying out two sittings that night. So I don't know where they're going to land, but it's reservations only. You have to have reservations. They text you your code when you get there. So you enter your code, you go in, and they have a completely different drink menu than at the restaurant. They have some additional dishes that would probably be more, it's easier to, you know, do over there. But then they have a lot of the restaurant dishes as well. So have to add that, because a friend joined me and got a couple of the dishes that I said, you got to get this, you got to get this. But here's the thing. It's absolutely beautiful in there. It's not like you're in Houston anymore. And they have live music. And I'm not talking live music where it's someone that's trying to figure it out. It was a show. So great date night. Great, you know, if you want to, you're celebrating something. Oh, it was all the things. All the things.
Well, and just to be specific, I mean, you know, the Credence is big and not bright, like not in an offensive way, but open and well, you know, properly illuminated. Mm-hmm. And Sidebar is smaller and boutique and intimate
and smoky and oh yeah, it's like you're in this I call it my new honeycomb hideout, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Right. If you see Felice there, no, you didn't.
No, you did not. Correct. Thank you. Thank you. That part.
All right. Anything else about Credence?
No, I just think.
Yes. Oh. Yes, there is. I'm sorry. There is one more issue that I have to raise with you.
Oh, okay.
From the beginning, I have wondered why Levi Good chose to brand this separately from Good Company Restaurants, right? Why isn't this, instead of Credence, this could be Good Company Bar and Grill, right? Mm-hmm. And you would leverage the reputation and the branding and all of the goodwill associated with Good Company. So do you have a take on that? Like, do you like it as Credence, or are you confused about why it's not a Good Company restaurant? Because I have a theory. Having now been there, I have a theory.
I was in one of the restaurants, the Good Company restaurants, and the girl said that, I don't know why it's branded differently. I totally know why it's branded differently, because it is, like you said, when you go to Good Companies, any Good Company, there's things that you expect, right? Like, they're like, oh, it's going to have this, you're going to expect this. Same thing with Papado's. There are certain things you're going to expect. It is not that. It's not that at all. If you didn't, because we know they do seafood. We made that reference. They do seafood well, but it should stand alone. I don't want anyone having a preconceived notion of anything. Credence, she's her own girl. She's like the next level or next generation of restaurants, in my opinion, for that group. So I think them branding it separately was very smart.
No, I think you're right. And I would just like to expand on it and be a little bit more explicit. If it were Good Company Bar and Grill, you would be looking for the Campechana. You would be looking for the fried shrimp. You would be looking for the pecan pie. And so you don't have any of those things. And nor should you. And then the other thing is, Good Company restaurants, for the most part, are pretty family friendly. And I would say Credence, and relatively affordable, right? Within the spectrum of what constitutes affordable. And Credence is a much more premium experience from a price perspective. Right. And it is not a place that if you have older children that are well behaved and like going to nice restaurants, like, feel free to take your kids to Credence. But other than that, like, if they can't sit at a table, or if they need an iPad to entertain themselves or whatever, like, take them somewhere else. This is not like, this is the restaurant to get the sitter and go out and have a date night, and not the restaurant that you take the kids to. And not branding it Good Company frees them from all of those expectations, and they can do this more sophisticated, more grown up restaurant that's, you know, very compelling. I mean, we had a very delicious meal there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're open for lunch, they're open for brunch. I look forward to going back to trying more of the stuff on the menu.
Yeah, I went for lunch, like I said, and I've talked to people that in that area, they go for lunch now, and it's picked up as busy. Yeah, I wouldn't think of inviting my friends with kids for a night out. I would do exactly what you say. Leave the kids at home, because this is not a kid. I don't even think they don't even have a kid. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's literally that ain't that. Okay. Leave them at home, get a babysitter.
Absolutely. All right. And then for our second restaurant, just briefly, well, maybe not that briefly, I want to talk to you about Chop and Block. This is the new Montrose location. Not the full service, the fast casual, but the brick and mortar location of Chop and Block. I had the founder, Ope Amosu, on the show recently, and we talked about, you know, this was always the vision, you know, from the pop-up days to now, that the plan was always to have a brick and mortar restaurant. And it's just it's a very impressive realization of that vision, right? With, you know, a bigger menu, with a full bar, with cocktails, with a range of seating options. So let me just ask you, what did you think about the new Montrose location of Chop and Block?
Oh, I thought it was gorgeous aesthetically. I'm like, I think I told you tonight, I go, it's giving vibes, it's giving the best nosh, the best sips. Like, oh, I didn't want for anything, right? Like, it just, it's beautiful. I love the addition of the full bar. I love the new dishes. Like, you know, a lot of times people try to change the concept a little bit and make it, it's all the things you know to expect, except for, you know, in a brick and mortar. I loved it. I'm so happy. I've told everybody that they're like, oh, it's open. I love, you know, they talk about, I love the pop-ups. I love going to write, like, you know, going to post and checking it out. So I think this is just a great extension of the concept.
I mean, I agree with all of that. And to have gone to Chop and Block at the Post and had the greens and things and the trad bowl, and those were good dishes, and they've been very successful. But to go now and have the Buca stew or the Black Star bowl with the grilled shrimp, it's like, it's nice to see what the slightly more sophisticated version of this concept is. Still a fast casual environment, still that kind of, you know, still a bowl, right? Like, it's still a, you know, a protein and a rice and a vegetable or whatever, but with like a little more polish.
Right. Elevated, much more elevated. Yeah.
Yeah. And to have all these very delicious, you know, African inspired cocktails to pair with it is just a really nice addition to the experience.
Oh, I loved it. And it's so funny. We talk about, I have to throw this in there because, you know, I never get dessert. Everybody knows that. Eric gets the dessert and then I get a spoon or something to taste it. I killed my dessert. Was it plantain bread? Or did it call it plantain cake?
Yeah. You've had banana bread. Now you have plantain bread.
Plantain bread. Oh my gosh. That's all I'm saying. Get the plantain bread. yeah, so I was happy. I loved everything. The drinks, the meal, the dessert. And I think they have so many, I'm talking to the PR person, talking to Jalen, and she was saying like how many people have responded. So I always tell people that I've been telling them to go, just make a reservation so you're not waiting and make sure you have a seat, you know?
Right. Now I will say that is the one thing about this restaurant, right? It's a fast casual restaurant that's taking reservations. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I think that they might want to consider, especially for dinner, is moving to more of that like elevated, call it fine casual, call it, you know, fast casual plus, whatever you want, however you want to describe it, I'm fine with standing in line to order and then I'll take my table. But once I'm seated, I want someone to check on me, right? If I want a second cocktail or a dessert or whatever, right? I'd like them to figure out a way to kind of do that. Like, you know, whether it's QR codes and you order from the table, you know, that kind of hop dotting model.
No, Tiny's does that.
Or if we're being really sophisticated, Birdie's in Austin, that's gotten a lot of national attention, right? Let's at dinner, like not at lunch. It's fine at lunch because people aren't going to be drinking at lunch. You're not going to be lingering at lunch, but at dinner, give me a slightly better experience. And I'll tell you, I saw Ope at Southern Smoke Festival over the weekend, and I said, you know, I've heard from a couple of people who would like you to consider this. And he's like, yeah, we're thinking about it. Because having invested all of this effort into creating the cocktail program, they want to sell you a second cocktail. And the way to facilitate that is not to make people have to get up and get in line for it.
Right. And I remember when Laurel first came, they did that. And I'm like, I am not getting back up, getting in line, getting a cocktail. I'll just leave. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm situated in my seat. I'm comfortable. I'm not getting back in line. So you're 100% correct.
Right. I think the Loro model is a good one and hints at maybe what Chopping Block could become. And frankly, what I hope that they do, because I think it would only enhance the experience. They've having built this fantastic space and added these sophisticated things, it's the only thing that they like need to tweak to be like one of the very best fast casual restaurants in Houston, I think.
I agree. No, that's a good addition, good observation.
Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurants of the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when we'll have a very special episode with some interviews from the Southern Smoke Festival.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.